Here we go. All right, yeah, snow walls on there. All right, we're good.
We're good? All right. Ready, Chris?
Doesn't he look ready?
Well, he sometimes looks ready. All right, we're going to call that ready.
Oh, we are live. Okay.
Yeah, we're live. Yeah, who'd have thunk it?
I'm looking the feed to make sure everything works.
Live from La Cocina Studios, this is the 216th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
I'm Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. Yeah, I guess we're back to Houston Wrestling Radio. Some little back and forth as far as using an acronym goes. We can lovingly refer to ourselves as HWR for shorthand, but we're going back to that for now. We might change it up again. I don't know. But if you are watching us live on the YouTube right now, thank you so much. I am about to pull you up right here on my smartphone. And if you want to chat with us, comment, ask us questions, whatever, I'll see it right here. And we'll try to involve you into the show. If you are not watching live, you're watching later, delay, whatever.
What's your problem?
Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at HWrestlingRadio. We also have an Instagram account. I don't remember shorthand what it is, but yeah, go check us out on the Instas. So yeah, what we got going on this week, guys?
Same thing as we had every week. Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Who thunk it?
Okay, well, what are we gonna start off with?
We'll throw a curveball.
Yeah.
We're going to start off the show with a new segment.
Ooh.
We're introducing Homeroom.
It's going to be the last segment. Also.
Yeah. Starring the professor, Travis, over here.
Man.
So everybody sit down. Class is about to start.
Sit down. Shut up.
You were the only one out of the trio to watch last week's episode of Impact Wrestling.
Ooh.
Hell has frozen over.
Good start.
Hell has frozen over.
Yeah.
You know what it was? I was sitting back in the old recliner on a Sunday afternoon, flipping through the channels.
Were you drinking lemonade?
No.
Okay.
No. I noticed I had a recording. I was looking through all my saved shows, and one of them was Impact. I was like, what the hell?
That's optimism. The optimist Travis in 2017 starting to break out of his shell. All right.
Yeah. So it wasn't pretty.
Okay. Any positives at all in that show that you saw in that episode? Was this the first episode of the new rebranding of Anthem Entertainment with the owl or the pigeon?
Yeah, this is. I wasn't actually expecting it to start with that. Like, it opens up. With Clank, Punch Out of the Ring goes over to Pope and Josh Matthews. They're at ringside doing the intro and everything, kind of explaining a quick, you know, talking about Anthem Sports and everything. But yeah, the turnbuckle pads are already changed with the new, this logo they've come up with. I'm baffled by it. I just, like, I can't understand. I asked y'all guys earlier on our Facebook thing. I was like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand the design. I don't understand. It's like, I guess it's like an owl with the wings spread.
Yeah.
But I don't get the connection.
Me either.
I don't.
I didn't get it. When you shared it to us in the chat, I like looked at it. I seriously tried to think.
And I wasn't joking when I was asking. I was seriously.
No, I was seriously considering it too. Like, what is Impact, TNA? What does that have to do with an owl? I mean, owls are wise. Are you trying to say getting rid of Dixie was a wise move? I don't know. And like, I seriously couldn't figure it out.
And not only that, like, when they first showed it, it was passed around on the internet for a while, but the screenshot of it was the logo, which is kind of like a turquoise bluish color, and then the background was like a tan beige. So it had like a Native American vibe to it for some reason. It's like, what are they? Like, I really is mind-boggling. Like, I don't know what, because everything else is the same. Like, the same Impact theme song, all that's the same. The set's the same. Same colors, the gray and the blue. And
we expecting an eight-sided ring.
It wouldn't surprise me from Impact.
It was the same colors, new logo, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. And it is this kind of, you know, like I said, Josh Matthews and Pope, they kind of explained the Anthem Sports, and they mentioned Anthem like several times on the show. So,
was it their new anthem?
No. Oh. So I guess it also news that broke out that Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel were back in backstage, creative, production, things like that. But I don't think they started this particular episode. I hope not, because like nothing is still status quo.
Well, I mean, don't they have their tapings from like 3 months ago that they're barely airing now?
Like, dude, this is
they
brand
just
new.
Started taping.
Oh yeah,
last Thursday's episode was new-ish. Like it had maybe a 30-minute time delay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, basically back to normal. Starts off, there's a promo by Eddie Edwards as the champ. He comes out. Crowd's kind of dead for it, honestly. Not really catching sparks with me either, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Lashley comes out, talking smack. EC3 comes out, and they set up a kind of a three-way match for the main event for that show. Okay, whatever. So next segment comes around. It's Moose.
Moose.
Versus
caught me off guard.
I know, me too.
Mike Bennett.
Okay.
Oh, the Miracle.
Okay.
ROH, you know, alumni.
This gimmick, I don't know if y'all have seen it lately, but it's like it starts off like Maria is at the center of the entrance ramp.
That's already good. Oh.
You would think so. But then she kind of goes off on this weird tangent that there's background music playing, like, and the Titantron is all like starry, like black with starry, kind of like the Bray Wyatt stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It looks low key. And then when Heavy comes out, the music changes like all fast paced and everything, and it's just like it's jarring transition to when he comes out. His gimmick, his setup, it looks, I don't know, there's something, it looks bad. I can't, like, I'm trying to, the optimism stopped with what the hell.
Okay.
What
the hell turned into what the hell?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, really. They had a match for the Grand Championship belt. This is the title that has this weird format, like MMA style rules.
3 5-minute rounds.
3 5-minute rounds by the judge. So
who are the judges?
I don't know. All they say is at the end of each round, the ref stops them fighting. Puts them in the corners. They rest for about 30 seconds, and then they say the judges have scored this, this, and this, and then okay, round two start, and they do that for. And of course, first round went to I can't remember the first, and then the second round went to the other guy. So naturally, they had to have a third. And I was thinking to myself, is it always like that? Like, is it always like one on one? So you have to have.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's not like MMA.
No.
Like in MMA, you don't know who's winning until it's over.
Exactly.
So, and there's also 10-8 rounds. So there's no guarantee that if someone's winning the first two rounds, 10-9, the third round, somebody can come back and run the flurry and even it up.
Exactly.
So did they announce these?
It's more like it's an exaggerated 2 out of 3 falls match.
Do they announce the score after every round to the audience and to the wrestlers? Like, do they know?
I think so. Don't ask me for particulars.
Okay. You slept since then?
No, I slept in the show. I didn't know who the judges are. This is a bad format. It looks weird. Anyway, moving on. I didn't know Hornswoggle was still a thing. Hornswoggle is in TNA.
Apparently,
Or just Swoggle now.
Yeah, he lost his horn.
He had a backstage segment with the Vanguard One. Oh. He was talking to the drone, or he's looking at it, and then Matt Hardy comes around and starts talking madness, and all Swoggle's like, well, hey, did you know it's not real, right? You know this. And then of course Matt Hardy just kept on, and then he went off, and Hornswoggle's like, what the hell. So the next match was Rockstar Spud versus Swoggle. Rockstar Spud versus Swoggle. Can you guess who wins that match?
Rockstar Spud?
No.
Why? Okay. Why?
I don't know. Spud came out before the match, had a promo about how this is the year of Spud or whatever, and this and that, and he's not going to be defeated. And guess what?
He got defeated. Beaten.
Spoiler alert. There was a thing for Damian Sandow.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rex.
He gave you a promo mixed up.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a new promo, a new gimmick with that, right? He's got a
Liberace.
Yeah, and then Spud is
supposed to be his valet.
God damn it.
Yeah. So
anybody that was expecting Aaron Rex to make a big debut after he left WWE, guess what?
You know what? I love that. I get a kick out of that because of all the hype and all the shit that we, you know, it was put out there whenever he was leaving WWE. Everyone's like, oh, what's going to happen to him? And then he finally gets to TNA and is like, oh, okay, well, there he is. Yeah. Like, move along. Yeah.
To a lesser extent, that's kind of what happened to Kennedy.
He had his moments. Kennedy had his moments. Aaron Rex was just...
Aaron Rex, no. This is not the wrestler you're cheering for.
Yeah. No. Are y'all familiar with Eli Drake?
No.
A little bit. I don't
know I've heard the name, but
yeah,
this is the first...
He was like the X Division champ for a little bit.
Was he? Okay.
Well, yeah, he was an indie guy before.
He's got a segment called The Facts of Life. And it's like a little desk show segment. He's got a little buzzer on it. He hits it for his little catchphrase. I don't know. The Hardys. And that's actually better than that. Yeah. His guests were the Hardys, so we got the big intro for the Hardys.
Wait. So the Hardys had two segments?
Well, that first one was just a quick backstage.
It was just Matt.
Yeah.
Matt.
This is actually Matt and Jeff coming out. Yeah. Basically, Drake was basically saying, hey, Nonstop Deletion, you had all these Wash-Up Has-Beens and all these other people from all around coming in, but you didn't invite me. What the hell, bro? Pretty much. And Matt Hardy, in his own words, saying something to the effect, well, everybody was invited. What didn't you just up to you didn't show up? So that led into a challenge. Drake challenged them to a tag team title match with a partner of his choosing at tomorrow night's from the show. Tomorrow night's one night only pay per view.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what? There's a pay per view tomorrow night, and I'm like an hour into the show. I'm just now hearing about it from this off the wall segment with the Hardys. Seriously, this is the promotional material that we're dealing with on this.
Yep,
I know one night only pay per views are kind of like pre taped or whatever the case may be, but they like worked it into.
Yeah, and they weren't necessarily canon for the longest time.
It was just
Joker's Wild.
Yeah,
tournaments. You would think you open the show off the right way with whoever it winds up being, but your heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Is in your first segment.
Yeah.
Your heavyweight champion is not going to promote that there's a pay-per-view in 24 hours.
Exactly. Ironically, Eli Drake's little catchphrase that he hits with his buzzer is called dummy. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of appropriate for this whole thing. Decay fought Helms Dynasty.
Okay.
I've heard the name, but it's
Did you watch Total Nonstop Deletion with us? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's the cruiserweight group. The dude with the long hair, scruff beard.
Yeah, Mandrews.
Yeah, Mandrews.
In which he's going to be on the UK tournament.
And Trevor something. Trevor Lee.
Trevor Lee, yeah. Trevor Lee. Some Tennessee redneck dude, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what his gimmick is, but anyway. Mandrews, he's in TNA right now, and he's going to be working the UK tournament for WWE this weekend. So that was interesting. And then basically Maria, she had another segment. She came out with her cronies. Mm. Yeah. She called out this girl, Allie. I guess she's been her assistant. Allie's whatever.
Been the, yeah.
So she called her out. Basically, there's been a lot of problems, I guess. Anyway, so she had a match. She put Allie in a match against Sienna. Sienna, basically. Allie's got like a kind of, I don't want to say Bailey gimmick, but it's like girl next door. Kind of like Innocent Maria from WWE
days. Yes.
It's kind of like that gimmick. Oh, that's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. Okay, so the main event, Eddie Edwards, he defeated Bobby Lashley in EC3 with the help of a returning Davey Richards.
Okay.
I didn't know he was gone. That's what I get for not watching for about a year.
For a while, you didn't even know TNA was still in business.
wishful thinking. I thought it would be more interesting if Davey Richards like turned on him, you know, and then maybe challenged him for the title, but that didn't happen, so...
Anyway, okay,
that's pretty much it for Impact. That was my first like full on watching episode of Impact for a very long time.
We kind of have the habit of watching the first episodes of Impact every year because there always seems to be a change. Like, oh my god, the first new episode of Destination America
or Ownership.
Oh my god, first new episode on Pop TV. Oh my god, first episode in like Timbuktu.
Well, historically speaking, when a new company or promotion has something new. You want to like throw all your cards on the table, roll the dice, everything.
You want to make an impact. There
you go. Yeah. Finally got one.
Yeah. but it doesn't seem like, you know, they're like they cared. Like maybe they did, but maybe I'm just like that disinterested. They couldn't hook me. you know, because okay. I'm so far removed from the current storylines. It's not like WWE where I'm watching every week, so I'm just there naturally.
Were there video recaps reminding you why half of the stuff was happening?
I think so. There's a few of them, but nothing that's like, you have to watch this, or, you know, this is what's been going on for this long. Nothing to that extent.
Okay.
There wasn't even that many. I think there was like one recap of deletion, and I might be lying on that actually.
Okay.
I want to say there was a recap of that.
Trav, let me ask you this. We said that this was a new segment entitled Homeroom.
Probably the last.
Is Homeroom just NXT, or I mean TNA talk? Like, I don't understand. What are we trying to go with here? What's going on?
Well, I think Chris can explain a lot better than I can.
Oh, of course not, even though I came up with the whole idea.
All right. I don't quite get it. This was just a TNA recap. Enlighten me, sir.
No, that's it.
That's it?
What? Yeah. Something Travis did on his own without us.
Yeah, he's more like a homework segment.
Yeah. he takes it for the team so we don't have to. How about that?
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Homeroom. Starting Professor Travis.
Like I said, the first and last edition.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Hey. Okay. Well, then.
Moving on.
Oof. All right. That was brutal. Oh, TNA. God damn it.
You would think.
Were you saying it's brutal because of the segment or because of the topic?
Because of the topic.
Oh, okay.
No.
You were kind of vague on that.
No. Not because of you, Travis. Not because of you.
How about Lucha?
Ah, Lucha.
Raise your hands if you watch Lucha.
I was too busy watching Impact.
Wait. Enlighten the viewers. Now, how many episodes behind are you?
I think it's three.
Four? I think you're four episodes behind.
I watched the steel cage match.
Okay.
It's three?
All right. Yes, okay. You're caught up. Yes, three. Yeah.
I'm caught up. It's three.
He's not caught up.
He caught up to three. Right. He didn't go over with four.
I got to the point where I downloaded them on iTunes, and then I had to watch. So I'm one step closer.
And you brag about your, like, infinity speed downloads. You didn't.
Oh, that wasn't a problem.
Downloading it wasn't a problem. Yeah. Watching it was.
I was making some new upcoming designs for future projects.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're going to have another talk after the show.
Uh-oh.
I just kidding.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
And yeah, we couldn't afford pink, so we got fuchsia.
I'm just kidding.
So did you get to watch
Fuchsia?
I like fuchsia, yeah. No, I did not watch Lucha Underground this week.
So this is your homeroom.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Goddamn.
This is P.E. So basically, in a nutshell, yeah, it is lunch.
No. His would be PE, mine would be lunch.
Okay. Yeah. The only parts that really matter.
Because part of physical education is this. There ain't nothing physical or education about the situation.
Okay, recess. Out there.
Yay!
Eating the paint off the side of the school.
Nap time.
There we go.
Smoking a cigarette behind the gym. You know.
In French class, we called it relaxation. So basically,
napping with that one girl from, yeah.
And she gave it up. Yeah. Okay, so basically, that's things you need to know about Lucha Underground. We had another rematch, Sexy Star versus Mariposa, just the old school beating. And Sexy Star laid it in.
Yeah.
To the point that Mariposa disappointed her brother.
Wait, this is a one-on-one match?
Yes.
Okay.
Marty the Moth turned on his sister.
Ah.
Yeah, choke slammed her. Damn near out of her boots.
Yeah, she had it coming.
And then the other thing is the main event was Johnny Mundo against the Mac, which was supposed to be a title match because the Mac's number one contender.
Right.
However, Dario changed it. So the match. That match was for the stipulation. The winner of the match was going to pick the stipulation for their title match.
Okay.
I don't know when the title match is. And the Mac won that.
Okay.
So
did he say what the stipulation was? He was holding on to it? Okay.
Or I don't remember. One of the two. But in a nutshell, Lucha Underground.
This is a great episode here, guys.
Oh, it's going to get better. Oh, how about NXT?
I watched it.
I didn't watch that either.
I
didn't watch jack shit this week.
Don't worry, neither did I.
Okay.
So basically, my protest continued from last week. Because last week they aired a month and a half old footage from Japan with their headlining the show with a match that they already aired 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no interest in watching it. They followed that up with last week's episode, which was the more matches from Australia, which headlined with another match that they just aired 3 weeks ago. I saw this cage match when I was in California.
Okay.
Nakamura and Joe. So my protest was ongoing. I didn't watch this episode at all.
You weren't going to.
Until I decided to show up to Travis's to watch some wrestling and do some work for our pop culture episode coming up for our year in review. He had NXT on the telly, and just as I sat down, the Mighty 61 was getting a title shot in their hometown against DIY.
Ooh.
That's a match of the week candidate.
It is.
Candidate.
Really?
It's good.
Really?
I mean, look,
really
at, look at the participants.
Yeah, makes sense. But I mean,
it just sounds good on paper.
Was this just like a one-off thing because they're in Australia, giving the Australians a shot?
Yep.
So it's not necessarily – is it glorified house show and not necessarily along the continuum?
I would say yeah. It's a televised house show.
The televised house show. So it's not necessarily the continuum of whatever their storyline that they're doing now?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because even Asuka fought that was in Japan show. Nia Jax?
No, this match had the triple threat. Ooh, we saw pieces of that too. That was ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ember Moon against Billy Kay and Aaliyah. Right, Aaliyah?
Yeah.
No, the Jersey chick.
Yeah, Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan.
And she's not ready yet, dude. Like, Ember Moon, she could only do so much in that match.
Yeah.
She was playing defense, not trying to clean that stuff up.
And Billie Kay.
She's actually getting a good reaction, but you know, Australia.
And even then she needs someone good to work with too.
Yeah.
And I think it was painfully obvious. One of these did not belong, and it was Jersey Girl. There's potential there. I mean, I like her, but against those two in a triple threat where stuff has to go on the fly and you have to be ready, she's not ready there yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
One on one, she's still tolerable. Like I said, I like her, but just this triple threat match for some reason, this just wasn't her. That match wasn't her night.
So officially, you got called out on your shit. Daryl says that Mundo won the match.
There we go, Mundo won the match,
and the stipulation was announced that it's going to be all night long.
There we go. Thank you.
Wait, what does that mean?
All the episode, the whole episode is going to be the match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Iron Man match, basically.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So yeah, that was NXT. Unless you wanted to add something on that tag
match. No, I'll second you on the tag team match. Thought that was a good match. I think, you know, it is definitely a match that we candidate, you know. But, yeah, when you just have, you know, a two-hour house show pretty much for your weekly television show.
No, well, no build other than, like, you had to watch last week's episode. Yeah. It's not continuity storyline wise.
Even then,
you know,
nothing.
Yeah,
that's why I wasn't motivated to watch NXT. But
I think tonight is the rematch. Revival gets a rematch against the DIY.
Which, I mean, if they're going to be having a takeover before a Rumble, dude, what the hell? Like, now they have 2 weeks to build an entire takeover? Dude, what the hell?
3 weeks.
Three weeks. Yes.
Yeah. And, the tapings have already happened.
I've seen the card.
It's shaping up to be a
decent, not their best, but
so we know the card already for.
If you look for it, you'll find it.
Okay.
Right now, spoilers. But yeah. I mean,
it's out there. If you want to know what it is, and I'll put it to you like this: as of right now, I'm not regretting spending my money, but it's gonna have to win me over. That being said, these 3 weeks, we're gonna be a lot. More pleased than these two weeks of, like, you know how we complain that usually the Raw between TLC and New Year's is the gimmicks of Christmas and New Year's and all this other junk, and they don't do anything. That's what I figured these two episodes of NXT were like. They're meaningless to me.
Okay,
if my build for TakeOver starts tonight when I watch this newest episode of NXT from Full Sail.
Okay,
so that's NXT in a nutshell this week.
Yep, ta-da!
Yeah. For anybody that hasn't gotten their tickets here, there's none aware. NXT has a house show at Revention Music Center the Thursday before the Royal Rumble.
And Thursday before the Royal Rumble here in Houston.
Yeah, and there's still tickets.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would that be, like the 25th? 26th? Something like that?
We'll call it that.
Well, yeah, something like that. Thursday before Rumble.
205 Live.
No. I don't know why I had that reaction.
Did you get to watch it?
I watched the main event.
Are you seeing a theme with this? Yeah.
Yes. Hey, man, I had a crazy week, man. Come on.
Not as crazy as Alicia Fox, apparently.
She
spazzed out on the television.
Did she?
Yeah.
Damn, here, what are you talking about?
She did. Oh, no, she did, yeah. So.
Well, are we going to jump right into 205 and skip whatever happened with the Cruiserweights on Raw?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay.
Peppy. So we start off with Alexander against Noam Dar. That's another match of the weekend.
I was about to write that match off. Like, okay, because I wanted, I put it on to watch something else later on in the show.
That was supposed to be fodder, like fast forward juice.
And I just, and we're eating, and we're like, okay, well, we'll just watch it, whatever. And I was like, holy shit, this is actually a good match. There's some hard hitting stuff in that match.
The uppercut that Alexander hit on Dar outside the ring. Like, Dar's like leaning, like he's about to fall forward. And instead, it doesn't go up, he goes like in and like uppercuts. It's like,
and like his full forearm is like wrapped around this, the side of his face. But there was a lot of good like drop kicks and his forearms, uppercuts.
Alicia doing an actually decent job of getting the fans, reminding the fans that there's a match in the ring and they should start cheering for somebody. Because for the most part, that crowd was pretty.
It's right after SmackDown. This is the first match after SmackDown in it. So yeah, you're getting rid of all the crowd that doesn't want to be or that left. So now you have, you know,
all the dum-dums. And they were a whole lot louder than they were with when the match started. Alicia did a good job of keeping them in rhythm.
And there was storyline development on that whole match too, with the whole Alicia Fox
thing. She saves Cedric Alexander from getting his arm broken off outside the turnbuckle,
which is a good spot. Let's talk the Noam Dar was working the arm quite a bit, and then there's one spot he got him in the turnbuckle at the apron in the corner, and he put his arm in between the apron and the steel steps, and he kept like wrenching down on it, and he went back to go run
drop kick
and do something with it, but Alicia Fox got the way, softer. And then from when he was getting her face about that, Cedric had recovered. All we see from the camera is his feet coming down and just smashing the side of Noam Dar. It looked really sick looking kick, dude.
Yeah.
Nice. And then later on in the match.
And then later on in the match, Cedric's about to hit Noam Dar with the moonsault. Fucking Alicia Fox saves Noam Dar. She pulls him from getting hit. Noam Dar hits him with the running enziguri kick.
Yeah.
And that's the match. Noam Dar wins.
Really? So you think this was a
turn? And then Noam Dar's gonna go kiss Alicia, and Alicia's like, hold on a minute, player. Bam, slaps him again.
That's why I was asking if we were going to skip whatever happened on Raw, because I mean, isn't that when she planted the kiss on Noam and, you know, trying to prove a point, you know? I found that to be interesting. It's like, okay, is this going to be something where like how is this going to affect Cedric? Like, is Cedric like,
it affects Cedric.
Okay.
We're done.
Oh, he did that to her.
He dumped her backstage in the locker room.
Really?
Like, dead weight, just dropped her like that.
Wow.
Like
that.
A bad habit. You go, boy! Yeah!
Don't win with that crazy bitch.
Okay. And sure enough, as soon as he walked away, Alicia's like, nobody dumps me! Tasmanian devil in the locker room.
She's breaking the microphone.
Dude,
she's breaking the
speaker.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, oh man, she went full like Orange is the New Black crazy when she got dumped. And she,
Sammy
fell out of an episode of Total Divas almost.
So,
and that's why Total Divas saved.
Is she aligning herself with Noam then? Are we
no, she's
to
aligning herself with all the other voices in her head. She's still keeping. I told this to Travis when I was watching this during the match. It's like, I bet she still has that schizo thing going on that she's been having before, where she goes crazy and sometimes she's normal and sometimes she's crazy. So the normal side likes Cedric, and the crazy side, she likes the rest of the foreigners.
Well, if she's not aligning with either one, then what's the point?
Well, she probably is going to be crawling to Noam Dar now.
Yeah. Just to make Ced jealous?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ced are like, okay. You can have that, what do you say, like the pervert or whatever?
Oh, I've got no problem donating used toys every now and then to the less fortunate. It's okay.
Is that what you said?
No. But I've had to drop that line once or twice.
I was going to say, that did hit you kind of hard on that second, right?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Plus the heart. Okay, so... 205 Live. Okay, so that was that match. And then
we had a parlay segment. Voulez-vous parler avec moi? Oui.
What?
Jack Gallagher and Ari Daivari sat down to talk. Parlay is French for talk. And
settle dispute.
Yeah. And
in a gentlemanly way.
And they didn't. So they wound up signing a contract for a forfeit match. But you know what? I don't know if you were paying attention to this. I know you didn't see it. You know what redeemed that entire segment?
What?
Gallagher explaining the difference.
Okay.
It's like an I quit match. However, if you forfeit, then that's the end of the feud.
I did hear that.
You lose. You have to accept it, and you have to live with it. So this is the definitively. This is the end of the feud. one way or another, that if Jack Gallagher loses, he has to live with the fact that he just, at his best day, couldn't beat Jabari, and vice versa. And I love that, because we see all these feuds, like some of these feuds and rivalries are like stipulation matches go on all the time, but you would think a stipulation match is to like end a feud. Like Sasha and Charlotte had like three different ones last year.
Here's the thing about that. I'm going to second you. I do like the fact that that's what the stipulation is, because we haven't had it happen in a while where a stipulation was the end of a feud. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, we've gotten last couple of years, probably a little bit longer than that. It's been gimmick match, you know, gimmick match. It's
part of scheduling.
Break it up for a little bit and then go back to that feud again. And it's just, no, I kind of like this where it's kind of spelling out for you. Hey, look, yeah. we had a feud. We're going to have this match. You know,
now we're done.
Yeah.
Now, is this match going to happen on 205, or is it going to happen on Raw?
I think it's going to happen on 205, because I saw the logo on the contract when they were signing.
Okay,
it's going to be on 205.
It didn't have Raw.
They're going to do that on Raw because everything has been set up
for the most part. Consistency wise, in its infancy of the show, this has been the best feud that 205 has produced, or the cruiserweights in general.
What'd you say? You know, you said something earlier. You said it was a fun little feud.
It's must see television for 205. You want to see what Gallagher's doing.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was the gentleman's duel or him debuting, the rivalries he had with Daivari and this parlay segment, and then however they're gonna twist this forfeit match, and even the break apart when they started brawling, is like, I hope
the queen.
You upset a gentleman. I hope the queen isn't watching. He flips the table and they start fighting, and they separate like no one got up over the other. So they both left on even ground there, you know. So it wasn't like, oh, if Daivari wins, pff, reverse momentum, you know.
Yeah.
XYZ. They left it blank. So I like where, for the most part, I can't find a single flaw in this feud so far.
Okay.
And there's been flaws that we've had, like, oh my God, they're overdoing the video game.
There's not a lot of anything attached to it. That's all. It's just been a few weeks to new characters that don't have a lot of history. So it's easy to say that on this particular feud. Really anything for the cruiserweights, because it's all fresh.
Yeah. The main event was Swan against Tony Nese.
Yes. That's something I actually watched. I walked in and you happened to have that on the telly.
Sounds good.
It was. I agree. It was a good match. It might be a match of the week candidate for me as well. I mean, I didn't watch all the other crap you guys watched. So it might be just by default. It's not my pick, though. I do have a pick ready. But
I feel like Tony Nese is just missing a personality.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. Gulak.
From bell to bell in this match, I was looking at Nese like, fuck, if there was some charisma or some personality to come out of him, he could be like on the same level. Or at least make me hate you. Yeah. Like, I like what he's doing in the ring. Most of the Cruiserweight Classic, we didn't know if there were heel or faces. We're just cheering them on their ability, which I'm doing here with Nese. But if he had something, an intangible that he has that would separate him from everybody else that you can't produce physically. Like, there could be 100 Tony Nese's walking around the locker room in NXT somewhere.
Right.
But if there's something that's pertained to him that can set him apart from anybody else, he could be just right there on the same level as Swan, Perkins, Brian Kendrick,
and Neville. I feel like that there could have been something there when they were tag teaming, you know, Gulak and Nese, and Gulak was coming out with that crazy ass fucking jacket.
Yeah.
Like, what's the story behind that jacket? Why the hell does he think he's the captain of like the Normandy ship? Like, what the fuck? Like, is he
waiting for him with the long
John
Silver
hat? Future? Yeah. Like, what is with this guy? Like, I want some story there. And then, like, what is his relationship with Nese?
There's no connection.
Like,
it's literally just two dudes thrown together.
There's kind of more there. So I feel like that's a big opportunity for both of those guys, because right now they're kind of just mechanics. They're just going out there to job, but put on a good show. But Hector, he brings up something interesting in the chat as far as the cruiserweights go. He goes, all I want to know is, where is Grand Metallic?
Oh, I forgot about that motherfucker, because they've been showing commercials the last couple of weeks. Where's Tozawa?
Yeah.
At least we got a promo. At least we got a little ad for him.
Soon. But transitioning to Raw, we know how long soon is with Emelina, right? So we might never get him.
Tony is Gulak's niece. Fucking Vincent Mares.
Hey, new guy.
I never know, new guy. I haven't seen his name before.
On this wavelength of the cruiserweights on Raw, mm-hmm. dude, fucking Neville.
Yes, after the match, holy shit, I really like that when
even before
Raw, until you're talking about Raw.
Yeah, on Raw. He had a great match on Raw.
He had a great match on Raw.
That modified Rings of Saturn with the clutch.
Oh,
Neville's bad boy.
And the fact
that the announcers mentioned it as a modified Rings of Saturn.
And that's what I was going to say. I'm not sure if I have mixed feelings about it. Because on the one hand, I was like, hell yeah, they're not changing the name of the move. But they're pointing out that it's modified. Well, if it's modified, so I'm excited. But then I'm like, well, if it's modified, shouldn't he give it his own name? So now I'm feeling like, maybe it should be changed. I don't know.
Give it time.
But yeah, exactly. Give it time. But if he's going with this completely different character. Okay, we get King of the Cruiserweights, and you know he's from across the pond. All right, I hope they don't go too. He's a Euro, you know, on that. But with the whole meteor in the background, and you know, with him doing a Rings of Saturn, I wonder if they're going to give him some sort of, you know, cosmic theme. I don't think that they have to go completely 100% and be like fucking Arrow Star. But like,
away from that, if anything.
Yeah, yeah. They need to name some stuff on there for him, especially if he's going to be using it as a new finisher. I mean, Red Arrow was cool, you know? But, dude, this fucking submission move is fucking badass.
My only,
you name it.
My only nit to pick about this new Neville is turn it down a little bit with this whole give me my crown, I'm the king.
Yeah, you said that last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I'd said that off air.
No, you said it.
Yeah, I just okay.
They need to turn it down just a little bit. Because if not, he's gonna be King Barrett or King Sheamus.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or King Lawler or King Mabel or
well, I mean it's fine if you have
King Styles.
King Styles.
Oh Jesus. Oh, bad.
There's a possibility that Neville and Rich Swann for the Cruiserweight title at the Royal Rumble could steal the show. Minus the Royal Rumble match itself. Minus the
Rumble match, yeah. Because the Rumble match is
different. One-on-one competitions, this could steal it. And that's on the same card that has our match of the year from last year, Cena and AJ Styles.
Rematch of the match of the year, yeah. I mean, I still expect Cena and AJ to probably be the match of the night. But you're right. I think this match has the potential of stealing the show. I just really want to see it. I'm really interested in Neville, Rich Swann. Like, yeah, he may have fucked up a couple of promos before. That promo on 205, he held his own.
Yeah.
It's not the best. He's not The Rock. In fact, I think Neville did a better job than Swann. Mm-hmm. But, hey, I could already see just in the last couple of weeks, he's already stepped up his game a little bit. So he's not like a 4 out of 10 now. He's like a 6 out of 10. Yeah. So that's progress.
He's not making an effort to sink the promo.
Right, yeah, right. So it's progress in my mind. So, yeah, and we all know that he's fucking gold in the ring.
So if we have to make a positive with the Royal Rumble with this match, I'm going to give Abel a negative because we know how big Abel's a fan of The Undertaker.
Oh, fucking fuck.
Abel's favorite wrestler that should have retired 7 years ago made his return on Raw, and apparently, Abel, even you can't tell him what to do.
Oh, apparently not.
So are we moving into that segment?
Yeah. Let's talk about The Undertaker. Here's a problem that I have with this, and I know you're giving that look to the camera because it's like, oh, Abel's gonna bitch about The Undertaker again. Yes, I am. But I feel like taking off my own, you know, biases and blinders, I still have a legitimate gripe. Oh. And the legitimate gripe is this. He came out on SmackDown a few weeks ago, said that he's back, and he's not gonna let WrestleMania define him. In my mind, what that means is that he's not coming back for the streak. He's not coming back just for a WrestleMania appearance. He's not coming back for the road to WrestleMania. He's coming back, and we should expect him back doing some stuff here and there around, maybe for this other pay-per-view that just passed or something like that, whatever. No, he fucking ghosted until Raw, even though he should be a SmackDown superstar. And what's his big reveal on Raw? Oh, I'm going to enter the Royal Rumble. Well, okay, you just got done saying that you're not going to let WrestleMania define you, yet you are on the fucking starting block to the road to WrestleMania. The whole point of winning the Royal Rumble, the whole point of putting your name in the hat of the Royal Rumble match is to get a fucking match at WrestleMania. Like, what the fuck? If you look at his motivation to get into the match, if anybody's motivation to get into the match is to get a shot at Mania for the title. So basically say, I'm not being defined by WrestleMania, but I'm going to attempt to challenge for the title at Mania. It's like, dude, come on. it just pisses me off.
You don't follow that
trend. I'm done.
Okay. Well, he said WrestleMania is not going to define him. Replace the word WrestleMania and insert the word streak. The streak is not going to define him anymore.
Okay.
And to answer your other one about he should have been on SmackDown, he shouldn't have been Raw because he's a SmackDown guy, he answered that one too, where he says he goes where I want to go, and he went into Stephanie's face and said that includes that nobody, right? Something like that. We got right in her face and said that.
Nobody.
Yeah, just like that. So far, I'm down with it, and I actually have a little bit of fantasy booking on this.
Okay, I'm listening.
Go for it. All right. You're right, Abel.
Uh-huh.
He's on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, fantasy booking, he goes in, he actually wins the Royal Rumble.
Ugh.
So now he goes in on the SmackDown side of things. We have the Phenom
versus the Phenomenal. The battle of the PHs.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. I'm not even going to go that far. I'm just excited to see The Undertaker possibly in the same ring with Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, yeah. Bill Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman.
Wait. One last thing I just thought of.
One more thing.
That too. No. Now, I was thinking about this. I'm on my own fantasy booking here. He beats AJ Styles. He retires as the world champion. And then we get a tournament for a new SmackDown world champion so they can have a blue title. Mm-hmm. You know that's bugging Vince. You know that's bugging Vince that one title is black and not blue with all the other brands, with all the other the belts. And you have Taker go out as champ.
He was the last WWE champion.
Yeah.
Stroke that beard one more
time. That could be replacing his legacy of being, you know, defeated with the streak. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I might be okay with that. I mean, I'm not the biggest Taker fan, but I'm okay with the continuity there and the thinking
behind it. And that way it wouldn't replace the actual belt that AJ Styles has right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's a really good argument for pro Taker, but it's like, yeah, he had the streak, but he also had these world titles, but he was also the last ever WWE champion.
Yeah. Okay. And retiring as a champ, that means something.
To retire that belt.
That shows respect to the performer. That shows that's how important they are.
We took away your 20-year streak.
21-year,
yes. Your two-decade-long streak. We'll go ahead and let you retire with the belt that's meant everything for, Okay.
And then make sure he's inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So you didn't like the Undertaker segment?
Nope.
Was that better or worse than HB Sizzle's shilling of his movie?
Better.
So you didn't like Shawn Michaels' promo?
No.
Are you sure you gotta think about it for a second?
I don't know. He shilled, which is funny because that's what he does, and he's kind of got a cuteness about him whenever he tries to do those things. And then, you know, he shut down the hecklers. Okay, fine. And he out there readily admits, you know, I'm here to promote my movie. Like, okay. Yeah. What else? Okay, here comes out Cass and Enzo. Well, that's really cool for them. You know, they had a...
Rewind a minute.
Okay.
First came out Rusev.
Rusev with the Ginger and Lana.
Dude, Rusev, that was really cool for them. Like, his like, no fucks given attitude, the character, I'm loving it, dude. It's like,
personality starting to come out in this.
What do you say, like, when he first got the mic, people were booing, he's like, yeah, whatever. He's kind of walking.
It's like, don't boo HBK, he's a legend.
I think the difference is that while I'm frustrated with the stuff with Taker, the whole Taker segment had stuff to do that's going in line with storyline on stuff that's actually going to happen, that's actually going to culminate in a match, the biggest match. But the stuff with HBK, it feels like it's a one-off thing, and if we don't see HBK next week, who cares? Right. Because it doesn't mean
anything. Because it's HBK, he lost to Brett.
Yeah, like it doesn't mean anything. Like There's not storyline going into it. There's not storyline coming out of it. It was just like this one-off but thing. I know it's Shawn Michaels. It's Shawn Michaels is entertaining, but it's like it's
Michael Cole's favorite wrestler. He has him tattooed on his arm. The best part was Rusev going, "You want some tonight, Cass? All right, Cass, you're gonna have a match with my buddy Jinder. You can do it, man. You got it. You got it."
You're not gonna mention the part about Rusev talking about Lana's Golden Globes. And Sean the Christian is like, oh.
No, Enzo damn near having his spasms out there in the ring standing up.
Okay, dude. Okay. Enzo coming out like fucking coming out on this little
on the little get long.
Little, yeah, a little rascal, whatever. Just like
they see around. Me rolling.
It's I mean, it's he's legit hurt, but I mean it's funny the way he's working that whole gimmick of being hurt. I don't know. It was just entertaining. I kept laughing anytime he was like going in circles and shit.
Oh my god.
But in serious though, the Endzone Cast, they do, I think, seriously, they need to start tightening up some of their little things they do promo wise, because it is getting repetitive. It's getting too silly. It's not when Enzo can go, he can really go. But lately it just seems like
right now, Enzo doesn't need to talk. He just needs to run down that ramp in the cart in the little wheelchair. All right. So is this like the fourth week in a row that we've tried to do this? Chris Jericho versus Roman Reigns for the U.S. title?
Yeah.
We were going to start the show with this.
Yes.
Though we wound up getting some interference, so we wound up getting Seth and Braun and blah, 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 blah. And then we tried this again. Roman Reigns against Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens in a handicap match for the U.S. title, and whoever pinned Roman got the title. Mm-hmm. When we started Raw, did you give a shit about this feud? No. Did you give a shit about this feud?
No.
So when the match ended the second time last Monday, did you give a shit that the title belt had changed hands to Chris Jericho?
Yes and no. I cared that for... I liked it for Jericho's sake, but I didn't care about the title per se or the fact the feud, because at this point it seems like charity case to Jericho because no, seriously, in
here, says the guy with the Jericho shirt.
No, definitely.
Well, because they made a point,
my boy tonight.
They made a point. Hey, he's won every title except the U.S. title.
Yes.
So now, once they said that.
Yeah, we'll let him
have it. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
But I, on the flip side of that, I love the fact that he won it just so for him, for his sake, he could have that the accolade of all the titles.
Having all the belts.
Yeah.
How about you? What was your reaction when Jericho finally got the pinfall on Roman and got the belt?
I was legitimately surprised. Legit surprise. I didn't think Jericho was going to win it.
We were getting pissed.
So, Roman even countered these. Like, oh, here we go. Where's the spear?
I was definitely thinking, oh, 2-on-1? Oh, Roman's going to overcome the odds and, like, you know, win.
He got beat down before the match started. He's still going to overcome
the odds. Yeah, I was like, that's definitely what's going to happen here. So I was disinterested, to be honest. I was only half-ass watching it.
We fast-forwarded most of it.
There you go. But then when Jericho won, it got my attention. I was like, what? Hold on. And I rewind and rewatch it. I'm like, holy shit. And then the end sequence, I kind of like the end sequence. You know, the code breaker, the powerbomb on the apron, getting him back in there. And he was just like a limp, lifeless body. And they still tried to do another code breaker on him. Pin 1-2-3. I was like, whoa. Okay.
Right after he was saying, well, can you just hit one code breaker, please?
Yeah. I dug it. And I kind of feel like how you had the feeling about Y2J back when he had, you know, first beat Cena. It's like, well, enjoy him losing the title, you know, or something like that. I'm like, ooh, I'm really going to enjoy Jericho being the U.S. champion, still being best friends with Kevin Owens, and they're both going to have titles. I'm really going to enjoy this until Kevin Owens is going to lose the title to Roman Reigns. Oh, fuck! You know, I realize that. Take the U.S. title off him so you can put the Universal title on him. Fuck! You know?
Oh, that's not the aspect I was looking at.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm telegraphing there. That's what's going to happen.
Here's the aspect I was looking at. Monday, before Raw went on the air, they had two titles that were irrelevant to me. I didn't give a shit about the Universal title, and I didn't give a shit about the U.S. title, the people that were holding them.
Okay.
At least now, at the end of Raw, at least one title is relevant to me. Yes. I'm interested in seeing at least one of those champions, and it's Chris Jericho.
I'm interested in seeing what Jericho would do with it. And now that he's not the one who's riding the coattails, not of Owens, but of Owens' title reign, but he has his own title, like, I want to see what they're going to do. Are they going to give him a nice legitimate run like his last Intercontinental title run was? Or is it just a prop? I mean, because it's been just a prop with Roman. Roman hasn't done jack shit with that title. But on Jericho, is Jericho going to make it relevant the way his last World Heavyweight title run was? Yeah. You know, is this going to be something that's going to finally give the U.S. titles fucking something to do?
No.
The last time we had something relevant from the U.S. title was Jericho, or I mean, Cena's run. So
the open challenge.
Yeah, the open challenge stuff. Like, is this gonna work? You say no. Why?
No, I'm not optimistic about this at all. Mainly because before this past Monday, Jericho, for all intents and purposes, has been a punching bag. Mm-hmm. He's been laying down for
everybody.
Rollins. And then this particular main event scene right now, you just said it, the belts have been props all the way around. It's not just the U.S. title. It's the Universal title has been a prop too.
Yeah.
Because it's not established yet. It's not an established title to where anybody gives a shit about.
Yeah.
So you have two titles that are props. You have Jericho has been a lackey and a punching bag for about a month or two now.
A lackey and a punching bag, but yet also overshadowing the fucking champ.
Mm-hmm. Right. But regardless, he's still stuck in this feud. Yep. He's still been losing. They got lucky. It took two people to beat Roman Reigns.
Good point.
And they had...
At once.
Yeah, and I don't see it getting any better after this unless they focus on – you just mentioned it, like, okay, yeah, Owens, I can see him losing at Royal Rumble. Reigns gets the title. I don't give a shit about that because it's an established title to me. I don't really care who has the title. That's why I didn't care about Owens being the title or having the title. But now the way I'm focusing on it is Owens is not going to have the title, but Jericho is. Whoa. So that's going to put – it's going to flip it. It's going to flip the whole role reversal on those two characters.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking forward to see how they interact. But as far as the belts themselves go, no, I don't see anything happening like the U.S. title challenge, whatever it was a couple years ago. No, it's not going to be nothing like that. It's still going to be just a prop. It's going to still be something that Jericho can use to say that he's the champion. But it's no, unless they prove me wrong. They can prove me wrong, but I doubt they are.
I was a mushy gushy mark when Kevin Owens debuted in NXT.
Yeah.
I was a raving lunatic when Kevin Owens showed up on Raw with the NXT title. I absolutely have zero fucks to give about Kevin Owens right now today.
And that is
even so with the Universal title. So I'm hoping now that with Jericho at least having the United States title, even if Jericho loses it or if Owens loses his belt, whatever it is to try to get me back invested into Kevin Owens, reel me in, man.
All right.
So Jericho, I'm hoping this title actually further enhances his story that everybody else is gravitating to. Because like you guys said, right now, the title's not over. The mid-card title's not over. The two contenders aren't over. Half the time, it's a fucking piece of paper. The list is moreover. And Jericho with association, he's been the most over out of everything. So I'm hoping that that just further establishes Jericho so that we can still be somewhat interested in wherever this is going.
Reigns, Owens, Rollins. I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't. You can put
if it, was, if, it was, if it was anyone else instead of Jericho, maybe even with the same gimmick, I might not care.
I wouldn't care.
So
Hector brings up a question here in the live chat. He says, do you think they gave the belt to Jericho to try to keep him around since he was supposed to take time off to record a new album?
Oh, shit. He's still recording the album, bro. They're playing River City Rock Fest Memorial Day weekend in San Antonio, which I'm going. So, So
Reigns, how many times did Reigns defend the belt?
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
That's my point.
How many times did Ambrose defend the belt whenever he had it?
She was throwing
three
it
years ago, 2 years ago? Yeah.
That's it for Raw.
Yay.
How about SmackDown?
Smack 'em downs.
Oh, wait. Real quick. Real quick about that Undertaker segment. I said my fantasy booking on that.
Yeah.
However, reality-based, from what I saw, I think they're going to go Undertaker or Braun Strowman.
Mm.
Only because as soon as he said that he's entering the Royal Rumble, they cut to Braun like looking at the monitor in the back. Why do that?
Yeah.
Why
do It's obvious we're getting Goldberg Lesnar. We're getting Undertaker Strowman. So that leaves everybody else wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's I meant to say that earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
SmackDown.
Yes. SmackDown.
So the two big things. Number one, the main event, John Cena versus Baron Corbin. AJ was on commentary. What'd you guys think?
Full disclosure,
I didn't watch this episode.
I was hyped up for the match. Yeah. I told you this. I said
we all were.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to this because I like what they've been doing with Corbin lately. John Cena's they're doing something interesting with him on his character side. Yeah, let's see what happens. For whatever reason, this match wasn't clicking for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something was lacking.
I just think it's a good old fashioned lack of chemistry.
Maybe
like there wasn't anything bad about the match, but it just didn't have the little spark I was expecting it to have.
Would that
perception there's not much else to say about
that. Would that perception have changed if Corbin beat Cena?
Maybe so, because it would have been shocking.
But that would have set up intrigue for the next match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this one, and it wasn't even that. It wasn't even about who won the match. It was just like I just couldn't get into the flow of the match.
Me either. Like, and I'm not like gonna hate on either one of the guys because I'm still way more interested in the main event scene on SmackDown than I am on Raw.
Yeah.
But this particular match, I kind of felt like, all right.
Yeah,
we all know how we feel about Cena. How did the Corbin stock do overall after last night's episode? Did it go up? Did it go down?
It didn't go down. Yeah, it just held steady. Yeah.
Okay, you that's know? Good. That's a win actually.
It's a good. Yeah. It was a good exhibition match to show where he stands right now.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have thought that he would have been at that level yet to beat Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't beat Cena, but he didn't get demolished by Cena.
Did he look like he belonged on the main event of SmackDown against John Cena?
Not quite yet, but on the cusp of being there.
There's something there.
I kind of feel like, and you know, because this week is the week that it is, I'm going to draw this comparison, and Travis, I apologize in advance. It kind of feels like how I feel about the Texans this weekend. There ain't no way they're going to beat the Patriots at all. No way. But if they keep it somewhat competitive and they don't get demolished 30-3 or something like that, I'm going to be happy. Their stock is going to kind of be the same.
There's a 16-point spread in Vegas.
And if
the Texans, who have the best-rated defense in the league, score 6 points, then they're expecting New England to score like 21 to cover the spread.
If they keep it within 7, I'll be like, all right, I'm okay with it, and that's kind of how I feel.
Well, I'm a hockey fan too. I can talk about this.
All those slam dunks.
Yeah, yeah.
If Corbin got wiped off the face of the planet, the way how the Texans could get wiped off the face of the NFL this weekend, then I'd be like, God damn it, I'll flip a table. But probably not this table because you'll kick me out of the house. But if
you break a tile.
Yeah, exactly. But if they keep it competitive, which Corbin kept it kind of competitive, I mean, like, okay, do I think Corbin should be in the main event? Not quite yet, but on the cusp. Do I think the Texans should be going to the Super Bowl or hell, even the AFC Division Championship? Not quite yet, but hey, they're getting there. That's kind of how I feel.
Back on track. Well, kind of, because
still wearing their hat.
If Brady's not prepared for Clowney could eat that motherfucker up. And that's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, but the line. That line, though. They're not going to let him get to Brady.
We'll see. So.
Don't set yourself up for disappointment.
Oh, I'm already assuming the Texans are going to lose.
You can score home runs.
I'm already assuming the Texans are going to miss the penalty kick. But
yes. They're going to lose by 1 point because they missed the extra kick. Yeah. That's what it is.
So,
God damn it.
How about the heel turn for Ziggler? We saw that last week.
It was teased last week.
And last night we had Ziggler versus Kalisto?
Yes.
What was that
like? Because I guess that was Kalisto won the match because of what he did. He lost to Kalisto. And after the match,
he raped Kalisto.
Pretty much. He beat him down. He got a chair, beat him down some more. Then he was starting to leave. Apollo Crews came out, and then they were coming. They
attempted to make the save.
Yeah, it was a nice little brawl. I mean, I like where that was going. And then they both got beat down with a chair.
Yeah.
So Ziggler still remained strong. So that's good.
This is my match of the week pick. Granted, I did not watch NXT or Lucha Underground. Out of what I watched between Raw and SmackDown, that's my match of the week pick. And not just because of the shenanigans at the end after the bell. Although I really, really enjoyed the shenanigans at the end after the bell. What I really, really enjoyed during the actual match itself is that when the match started, it wasn't Ziggler going out there showing off his new heelness. It wasn't like overly saying, I turned heel last week and then boom, all of a sudden I'm a total heel. It was him kind of going back out there. Well, I did this last week. I'm kind of wrestling with myself in my own head. I'm going to just go out there and do whatever I got to do. And he tried to start with a slow pace. But Kalisto, fuck this motherfucker. He jumped me. He did all this to me last week. When the bell rings, boom, he ran across the ring and started right on Ziggler. And I was like, holy shit. Bounce off the rope, Hurricane Rana, go fat, fat, fat. And then that's when Ziggler was like, okay, you want to play, man? We're going to play. And then they started going fast pace. And then it was fucking solid.
I think that's the change that we got from the Baron Corbin feud. I think that's the best thing that came out of it was Kalisto actually having some kind of an edge. That he doesn't every week have to go out and like do the springboard off the little trampoline and do the flashy entrance for the kids. That he can actually play a side to his character that he does have, that you don't want to mess with the guy. And so this isn't the first time that you, like you're describing, Kalisto running in there and just like starting a fight. And I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my match of the week. Of course, I only had limited viewing of the week because it's been a crazy week. That's what happens when you get engaged. But yeah, from all the shit that I saw, that was my favorite match.
I think I'm going to have to go with Alexander and Dar.
Yeah.
For my pick. Yeah.
Okay. I need to go back and rewatch that match.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of it, I'm just going to say the tag team match from NXT.
Okay.
It's a week. It's slim pickings this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fault of our own because we all didn't catch everything. But
right. Yeah.
It happens.
Hopefully next week we'll all behave a little bit better and catch everything.
Nah.
No.
Well, actually, we might have that same situation because priorities. We have to watch the tournament this weekend.
Oh shit! That's right.
3 o'clock Central Time. 7 o'clock. Their time, live.
I don't care about them. It's 3 o'clock our time.
Yeah, 3 o'clock our time.
That's what I'm.
But I'm not from London.
Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, we're having the United Kingdom tournament for the first ever UK champion. Live, so that's priority. So if I don't watch NXT,
yeah.
As a matter of fact, two of us are gonna have a dark match. After the tournament's over on Sunday.
Oh, well, I'm going to be working on Saturday, so I'm going to miss the first part. So I guess the two of us means you two, huh?
Yeah.
Another dark match episode. I'm missing out on
the strike again.
Fucking dark matches.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Too sweet me. Oh,
man.
No, let's do it right in front of his face.
You done?
We still need to make time so the three of us can watch the Royal Rumble movie together, and that's going to be our special pseudo anticipation episode for the Rumble.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
So we've gone over what's going on Thursday before the Rumbles, the NXT house show. Saturday, if you're in the area in San Antonio, NXT TakeOver San Antonio. If you're still in Houston, there's a comedy show.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. That Saturday in Houston, there's going to be Rob Van Dam coming to town, and he's been doing like comedy stuff. And
Rob Van Dam.
That's really his teammate thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's coming to town.
Terminator. I get high.
What? That's not a move.
He moves when he does.
That's the third verse.
Yes.
Yeah. January 28th at a venue called The Secret Group.
Ooh, are we supposed to know
intriguing.
About this?
Yeah, apparently you are. No. The place is a secret, but the Anyway,
a good marketing strategy, business strategy.
Is it?
Yes, you know, it's not want to get caught with that.
That's why it's a secret.
Yeah,
but you could go ahead and buy tickets now. It's at www.thesecretgrouphtx.com. So
price is either $20 or a dime bag.
$20 pre-sale, $25 at the door. So buy your tickets early.
Or dime bag, depending on who you know.
Or dime bag, depending on who you know. I believe that, you know, he is going to be the, you know, last guy on stage. So it'll probably be like, you know, 10:30 or something. But they're just going to have a full actual comedy show with openers and everything like that. So yeah, if you're not going to San Antonio, we still want to check out some wrestlers. You know, go over there Saturday night. Or a wrestler.
Yeah. A former wrestler.
Yeah. But yeah, I had no idea RVD was doing comedy. Have either one of you guys heard anything about him doing comedy?
Dude, he's fucking hilarious. Have you seen the last couple matches he's had? He messes up everything.
Oh, goddamn.
I mentioned this like 2 weeks ago on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
But I mean, is there anything that you want to expound on that? You know, anything else besides the fact that it's going to be
there? It's BYOL. Bring your own lighter.
Aye. This guy.
And you know what?
What?
That's a show.
No, it's not.
What?
No. Travis, don't you have a little... Something for the set here?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
it is the 1 year anniversary of us doing YouTube shows, in case y'all didn't know.
Is it?
Yeah. At 165 was the first episode, January 12th.
Suckers.
As you can see, we have a collection here.
A menagerie.
Yes, to kind of
a bukkake, if you will.
Well, I wasn't gonna go that route, but
I just did.
That's why we have you here, Chris.
That's right.
So I thought it was appropriate, especially since they were just released here. They now have new,
updated
Hasbro styled figures.
Get some mic here.
Yeah, cool.
It's not the first time Hogan went down.
So, yeah, this is we have.
We're going to have to figure out a way to stand those guys up a little
bit. I'll probably take them out later, do whatever. But we have Lesnar, Owens. The rest of the series is we have Cena, Roman Reigns, and then we have Undertaker and Ultimate Warrior.
Classic Undertaker with the purple.
Yeah, and Ultimate Warrior looks very similar to this,
which is the actual old
just
school,
maybe not as veiny.
Oh, yeah. He just knocked over a honky and Roddy Piper.
Well, Piper, if you were to fight him now, he looks the same way. Flat on his back.
Come on.
All right.
This guy, too soon.
So,
Sorry, but I will not watch a bukkake with you guys in it. There you have it.
Well, you got
to
give us time to get
that's the right answer. Yes.
Anyway.
So, there you go. They're out in stores right now, Walmart specifically.
I don't know if they're available anywhere else. That's where I was able to find these at.
You found them at the Walmart right here in Deer Park on Spencer. I went to my Walmart, which is off of Dunville and Westheimer, and it wasn't there. None of them were there.
Sorry for everybody that's listening that's not from this area and doesn't know what you're talking about. But
If you're from
Houston. A little west, yes. Then east. I'm circle
around
town.
Circle around north.
In the Houston, greater Houston area.
$10 a pop. Pull some clear stickers from other toys. You can probably get them cheaper and just argue with the cashier and show Nick.
Because it is Walmart after all. Walmart. I don't know.
Which is cool because they actually have like the same like spring-loaded action features from these old figures. There was Roman Reigns. I just couldn't. I was there. Like I had him in my hands. I just couldn't buy the Roman Reigns.
You know how many times a day I would text you or call you or tell you in your face how much of a pussy you are if you actually spent your own hard-earned money to buy a Roman Reigns action figure, even if it's that tall. Pussy. We'll save that for him.
That's why I didn't buy it.
Actually, if anybody catches a Warrior or an Undertaker,
those are the ones I want.
Yeah. Those seem to be the ones that are harder to find.
Those are the ones the collectors want. So,
yeah.
Obviously.
Although, just for the set's sake, I don't mind getting all of them.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. But even Roman. Yes, even Roman. Question on here from Hector. He says, do you think the winner of the Bridge Tournament will show up at Rumble?
I said that from the very beginning, that there has to be some exposure for this belt that you just created. And it would be a huge missed opportunity if you don't have your first title defense of that belt be at the Royal Rumble. Because they all have announced so far that the tournament was going to be two nights. They said that eventually they were going to have their own weekly episode on NXT television, but there's not an on-air date, a time, or a location where they're doing this. So if this champion is going to just be sitting on the belt for 3 months before they actually start taping, there hasn't been any mention on Raw or SmackDown that these guys are going to be on WWE television free for the public for them to promote this champion with this belt. So the only other option I could think of, at least the pay-per-views in the meantime, is to have this champ, this first title defense at the Royal Rumble.
No.
And I agree with Travis.
Why? you can't have it both ways.
I just did.
Bitch.
No, here's why. Because this is a totally separate – has nothing to do with the main lines. If anything, if they're going to showcase anything about this, it's going to be a highlight package in between a match or two. That's it. Maybe, just maybe, they're going to have the champion in the first row or something just watching. But they're not going to have a match. They're not going to have – no, they're not going to do anything with this. This is a separate – what are they going to do, fly one dude from UK over here just for
– two.
Well, if it's a match, I don't think it's going to match. That's why.
Or debut the whole division, have them on the ramp. And
no, it's too much. It's too much time taken away from shit that's not focused on the Rumble right now.
I think the rumor – which, again, just rumor. Mm. The rumor was that they were only going to defend the title in the United UK.
Right, if that's the case,
when are they ever
– That's like, awesome, because when's the next pay-per-view in the United Kingdom?
Yeah, exactly. What, once every year and a half? Like,
dude, both of y'all are, like, taking this way out of proportion. It's just like NXT, just without the connection to
– Yeah, but that's the whole problem. They've only announced this tournament. They haven't announced when the first debut episode of this United Curtain – the United Kingdom.
Who cares? Let them do the tournament first, and then once the tournament's over, then
3 months from now, who's the champ? You're not going to know who it is because you're never going to see him, right?
What's the network?
Yeah, but not everybody's got the network. So how?
Okay, you know how they do. Why are you acting like this? You know they're going to – it's the fucking WWE. They're going to hype the shit up right before it starts. They're going to remind you. Look what they did with the Cruiserweights. The Cruiserweights are coming. They did that for almost a month.
The best hour of TV on television. Or wait,
they're going to remind you.
So it's not even on television.
Yeah, so it's not even on television.
Just chill, right? Chill.
All right. God damn it, Hector.
Exhibit B of having it both ways.
Oh, here you go.
Travis and I, a little gift for all you subscribers out there. Y'all were the first to know because we didn't even announce it. Mm-hmm. We just threw it up there willy-nilly. Hey, by the way, episode 3, the dark match. We reviewed New Japan. And we not only have Wrestle Kingdom from New Japan. We not only have one, we have two Match of the Year candidates already for 2017, and they're both from that pay-per-view. You want to know what they are? Listen and watch.
And you can find that on this channel, on YouTube, we have the playlist set up on our YouTube channel. Go under Dark Match. It's on there. It's sort of one of the most recent videos that we have up also.
Yeah.
Aside from
what you're watching right now.
Yeah. You can also, if you just want the audio version of it, if you want to, you know, play it on the go, iTunes, Stitcher, all those areas, anything with RSS feed, just do a search for us. It'll be on there.
Yeah.
And we might have some more surprises like that from time to time. So if you subscribe, you'll know before the general populace.
Yes, hit the subscribe button. Also hit the thumbs up button. We like those little thumbs.
You know what
gets comments stroke his ego.
Ooh.
Apparently, what gets us noticed on YouTube is number of comments in the videos.
Really?
So, comment. Not on the live chat, but comment on the video.
Well, comment on the live chat, too.
Oh, yeah, that too. But tell us how we did.
Yeah. All right.
Tell your friends. Share it.
Did you guys – well, I guess you may not have. Did you guys touch at all?
No, I didn't touch anybody. What?
On the issue of Omega and Cena tweeting out his stuff on social media.
That came out afterwards.
You guys did the dark match.
I think all these tweets with Omega and the tweets from Cena, I think they're just working the fans.
Trollololol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And well, I think Cena's being a troll. I think Omega is just working.
Okay.
He's working himself. So if he could try to get a better deal out of New Japan,
that's his overall goal, I would imagine. But or whatever the best deal for him, not necessarily Japan. Mm-hmm. But I just think that if he's planning on staying in New Japan, then what he's doing on these tweets is working really well because he's saying, "Look, I wrestled, I failed, I couldn't do it. I got to step away for a sec. I got to recollect. I got to figure out what's wrong, and then I'll be back."
Okay.
Obviously they, you know, the whole Suzuki coming in the next
Suzuki
night
gun.
To come back to fight Okada. So that gives Omega an out because his contract is in into this month.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll know more, obviously, if he resigns or not. But I don't know. It's interesting.
Okay.
And props to Omega. I mean, because we knew of, you know, I knew him and Bullet Club and everything else. And at the time when he first came, I think it wasn't until recently that he started, like, fine-tuning his character and getting all these great matches under his belt. But before that, he was just, you know, Kenny Omega in the Bullet Club. You know, I think he's really kind of, you know, fine-tuned what his character is. And
yeah. Somewhere down the line a couple of years ago, he went from being Kenny Omega to being the cleaner.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
being his own. And yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, because before this last year where everything is like, oh, my God, Kenny Omega this, Kenny Omega that. Like, whenever I heard Kenny Omega, I just thought, you know, oh, that.
That fool with the power glove.
Yeah, the fool with the power glove. The guy who was doing the Kamehamehas and, like, that's it, you know. Like, I always thought he was just, like, a silly character and that's it.
Yeah. You know,
he
was.
He was. So now that people are, like, really taking him seriously, I'm like, maybe he needs to be blipping back up on my radar again.
I was listening to Stone Cold's podcast. He had Dave Meltzer on there.
I just downloaded that tonight. I'm going to listen to that on the way home. And they talk about Omega.
They talk about, pretty much 75% of the episode is about that match. But one aspect that Meltzer talks about is it depends on what Omega wants best for himself. Mm-hmm. Like, is he in his mind, is he in a safe place with being the top guy, one of the top guys in New Japan? Is that what he wants to do? Or, you know, hey, being in his 30s, does he want to
keep going that way?
Do you want to go
burn out?
No, well, do you want to go to where the big leagues? Do you want to go to WWE? That's where everybody wants to, you know, that is the top. If you talk about the business.
If you're from North America, to you, the big leagues is
bullshit.
Is
no, WWE. In the business, WWE is number one.
I don't know. I mean, would you, as a kid growing up in Japan, think that my dream is to wrestle for WWE, or would you say my dream is to wrestle for New Japan? I know, but I'm saying for people in there, for a kid that would
grow up
in
Japan. Someone from Japan, I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there is a bit of a distinction because I understand he's not. I get it. I'm not making the argument for him. I'm making the argument of New Japan is just big enough to where there might be some people that will argue New Japan is big leagues.
New Japan is in a distant second place. I'm talking about business-wise.
You think they're that distant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at the overall picture of WWE. They're a global, worldwide organization.
Okay.
New Japan is Japan.
Okay.
It's not that
there's a sprinkle of New Japan here because of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But still, if you were to ask casual wrestling fans over here, hey, what's New Japan? And I was like, what with the what? You ask casual wrestling fans in Japan, what's WWE? Ah, John Cena-san. Yeah, they'll know what that. Well, they'll know what WWE is in Japan. Not everybody in here is gonna know what New Japan is.
Okay. Slight racist, but yeah.
However, New Japan is not as distant of a second place as you would think it is. Popularity-wise, it's probably the highest it's ever been. And they have just as much legacy.
I wasn't talking about popularity. No.
Yeah, I'm
talking about money.
I understand that as money-wise, but just because WWE is like making all the money, that doesn't mean every wrestler there is making money. You know, at least in New Japan, I would think that it comes across as everybody there has a comfortable living. You know, and they're happy with where they are. So,
I'm just saying, for him being in his 30s,
he ain't going to TNA.
Again, he's in his 30s. Yeah. Does he want to continue working that rough style in Japan?
Yeah.
Or does he want to go to WWE?
Work 300 days a year.
Start getting royalties, start getting merchandise, start living off that shit. You know, having some notoriety with his name in the US. Because right now, Marks know who Kenny Omega is. Yeah.
He gets decent coin with his merch because of Pro Wrestling Tees, but that's nothing compared to WWE promotion.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. As a business, okay. I see that side.
All right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Clock's ticking. I mean, you can't be wrestling that style the rest of your life. Yeah. You know, if you're already in your 30s, you got to start looking at options. Yeah. And I'm assuming that's something that he wants to do. Like, that's what he's doing right now. Mm-hmm. He's got a few weeks to decide.
Well, somebody that's out of time to decide because he made his decision. WWE leaked this, so it's fine to say this. Cassius Ohno returned to NXT television.
Right.
So for anybody that doesn't know, Chris Hero is back.
Chris Hero, yeah.
Yeah. Excited?
No.
No?
Not at all.
No?
I've tried to be a Chris Hero fan.
I tried to too, way back like ROH almost a decade ago.
Kings of Wrestling with
Yeah.
And
back then.
And I'm sorry, dude. I
Misawa elbow pad.
I appreciate and respect the fact that even with all the extra weight he's gained, like he's still agile. He's still
oh fuck yeah.
He can still go, and I love that. It's great.
It's awkward.
It is, and I if I was a bigger hardcore fan of him, I'd be all over it. But I just like I don't get it, Mike.
Yeah, like I don't care, and I think it's just because I haven't gotten enough exposure. You know, like I remember, yeah, Kings of Wrestling, that was awesome. But like since then, it's all been about Cesaro. You know, he was.
I mean, I love his forearm. He was used to do, but I mean,
yeah. And Chris Hero's a Jannetty there in my mind, and like he's just kind of gone away, and I don't really care.
And I kind of wish that if they brought him back. I really didn't think they're going to bring back Cassius Ohno.
I thought they were just bring him as he is.
Because like the whole tongue in cheek, you know, play on his name. Oh, he's KO is gone because of Kevin Owens.
Right.
So he's going to debut and say, "I'm KO." No, I'm KO, and then that's your automatic feud. No, that's stupid. And Cassius
Battle Ohno, of the Bolds.
Yeah. Cassius Ohno was a dumb name to start off. Right. They should have just stuck with Chris Hero. I mean, if they're bringing back Austin Aries, Roderick Strong, Robert Roode, and they're all having their actual names, why not go with Chris Hero?
Well, because here's the thing. The whole Cassius Ohno thing was started, and that's how much the business has changed in a few years. They were still doing gimmick names. They weren't letting them come in. Yeah.
They didn't realize how valuable their popularity already was and using it on as their own.
Right.
And getting the dividend
that's how much
as opposed
has
to
changed
instead
in
of starting
years.
From scratch and collecting everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought they would have just changed it up by now, but whatever. Yeah. And they got time to change. You know, his first week as on tapings, they could say, "Hey, man, you call me Cassius Ohno, I'm done with that. Chris Hero, that's my name." They could do something.
Who's your hero? It's
Chris Hero.
Yeah. They could do something like that.
We'll see.
And they'll probably do something like that, too. He won't change his name.
Well, they did that with a Tommy and Devitt, so there's no guarantee that we'll have Cassius Ohno forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. Because that wasn't a televised taping. That was just a
house. Although this would be the reverse.
No, that was the night that they taped.
Okay.
But the way they tape that, there's no guarantee that that's going to make air. So that might have just been something for the fans there or for WWE to hype their machine that, hey, we got Chris Hero back or whatever.
Yeah.
Other than I let's try this again. Are we done?
I think we're done. I think that's the show.
Yeah, I think the only thing we didn't – I'm trying to think of stuff from SmackDown because it feels like we blew through SmackDown.
Well,
did next
you
week.
Talking Smack?
No.
I didn't watch
that. Next week.
I watched it.
Steel Cage Match. Alexa Bliss versus Becky Lynch for the women's title.
Me likey.
Also, on this week, we had more storyline with the Wyatts and Randy Orton. I think now we're getting.
You're getting there?
We're getting there because now what happened, they lost their match, the rematch for the titles, right?
We missed a lot.
And then after the match, there's a little, you know, confrontation between Harper and Orton. Mm-hmm. Bray was trying to get in the middle of them. And when he's trying to get Ray, Harper went to go kick Orton, but he moved Bray in front of him, and he kicked Bray. And so Bray and Harper started going at it, and then Bray just left, Harper left, and Randy Orton's like,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's trying to break it down from the inside.
I said he was trying to play the long game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would it be worth the payoff, though, at this point?
Maybe. I mean, we were into it. I was into it. You know, I mean, I'm still into it. If they take too long, but I mean, guess that's true for anything. If they take too long, they can pull me out, but I'm still there. I've never gotten rid of the thing in the back of my mind saying that, okay, Orton is a Wyatt. We should stop calling him Orton and just call him Randy Wyatt. Like, I never got to that point, but that just maybe me.
You don't call him Harper.
I know, but I'm...
At this point,
damn it, Travis.
I've gotten to the point where
I'm making sense. I know.
I've gotten to the point where I wanted to stay this way.
Yeah,
like, I don't want.
Me too.
I don't want the rivalry to come back and Orton turn on him. I want them to keep this going. I've never been more interested in either one of these three guys than I am right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you break it,
status quo.
Yeah. The sum is not as valuable as its parts. Like, you have to keep it together. Otherwise, if you break them apart, then you're back to
Orton's going to beat them.
And then what?
And then what?
Yeah.
Okay. But Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. Yeah.
Was there something else scheduled for next week, or is that it?
I don't know.
So they said something else too.
Okay, for the third time.
We're done.
Yes, yeah, that's all. Yeah. All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Go Texans.
Doitashimashite.
Pop your culture.
Just don't lose 30-3. Come on.
This could be like Clemson, Alabama. Like, you didn't think Clemson was gonna hold with Alabama. Yeah. And before you knew it, pow, right in the kisser.
Right. Dang. Right up the hoo-ha.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like you could stay warm for a quarter, but then eventually that cold sits in and it's going to be three quarters of football. That's just going to suck. Yeah.
Okay, let's get out of here.
All right.